every move we make. We're all included on the list.
The lunatics have taken over the asylum. The lunatics have taken over the asylum.
Go nuclear. All right. Welcome to hour number two of the Perfect Triangle, number 141. It is May 21st, 2023. Hard to believe we're almost, this upcoming weekend's Memorial Day weekend, and then summer starts. Crazy how fast time flies, and yet it seems to go slow at the same time. A weird perception of the human brain. So I'm your host, Giuseppe Vaffangolo, Vaffangulo. Really happy to have my co-host, Frederick C. Blackburn, the incomparable Blackbird 9, back. He went undefeated in 3 degrees of Shlomo, so we'll give it another shot in 2 weeks. But now let's open up the phone lines. Area code 512-248-8252. That call-in number is 512-248-8252, 512-248-8252. And before we get to the calls, and we welcome your calls, Frederick, there's one more to tie a little bow on this, is like with Sam, if you could cue up clip number 16, intentionally honoring the brilliant movie Full Metal Jacket, where the real-life Marine Sergeant Emery, I can't think of his last name, but was just tearing into Vincent D'Onofrio's character, and he said something like "fat, stupid," and something is no way to go through life. Well, this is real life, where there's a dipshit Democratic state senator named Michaela Kavanaugh, and she's about 245, short, and if you listen to this, this is a woman who represented that she has some sanity to get elected to a state legislative office, right? And so she's on the floor of the Senate, and my comment to this lowlife, Michaela Kavanaugh, is fat, stupid, and unhinged is no way to go through life. So listen to this lowlife. And for her whole, you can stop, Sam. For her whole 3 minutes or 2 minutes, she was lauded. That's all she did. She's swinging her arms, spraying sputum in this rant. I mean, and you know what? We need trans people as much as, and shout out to Andy Ngo, who does a great job on Twitter with tracking. This just came 3 hours ago. A biological male in Tampa, Florida area has been charged with 186 felonies over possessing child pornography and animal sex abuse content. Juan Yap Rivera Jr. also allegedly had video of himself sexually abusing a dog. So there you go. Here you go. Here is the charges. This Hispanic dude with long hair, non-passable, looks like a Mexican dude with long hair. He rapes a dog. He's got 250 images and videos of child porn, and he was caught trying to film, distribute, or possess actual images of sexual activity with the animals. So he filmed himself sodomizing a dog. So we need trans people. Trans people matter. Bull fucking shit. They're degenerates. If you look at a real medicine, natural medicine, traditional Chinese medicine, the triangle of body, mind, and spirit, the international Jew has poisoned these people physically with all the estrogen mimics. They've poisoned them mentally with the Jubonic Jew jabs and all these toxic heavy metal poisonous injections. And they poison their souls. Their spirit is now just lost, and so that is all a tranny is a disgusting subhuman that's trying to rape children and rape dogs. And believe me, you will not win that argument if you want to debate Giuseppe. So come on and debate me sometime, any of you freaks. So Frederick, can you believe that? And then we'll go to the calls.
Oh, you summed it up great. It's just this idea of you have to accept everybody, no matter what a snowflake, you know, degenerate, crazy person they happen to be. And this has really given us an opportunity that all these people got pushed into these offices. And you realize just how unhinged they are. And so it's, you know, one thing for these people to, you know, grab power, but it's another to hold it. And it's amazing how many, you know, this big wave of, you know, elect trans people because it's the progressive thing to do. How many of those people are having to be removed from office or have resigned? Since they got an election, because it was a huge wave in this nation in this last election go round. I know they were, you know, pushing trans people up here in Boone, North Kakalaki on the thing, you know. So it's just, you know, it shows, you know, these people are mentally unstable. And like you brought up, you know, they go in to these therapists that start putting them all these psychotropic drugs, you know, just completely messing with their mental abilities. And then they start, you know, with the hormone thing, convince them that, your problem is that you are, you know, you actually want to be a woman, you know, and it's like bad Freudian comedy here, but they fall for it and they realize, that's why, you know, everything's always been wrong because I'm obviously, God made me wrong, you know? And that's the thing, is they just really fry these kids' brains with these pharmaceuticals, especially these hormone treatments. And, you know, I know we're not still playing, but, you know, bonus points. And most of those drugs are made in Israel.
There you go, bonus. All right, he went undefeated. In 2 weeks, we'll maybe we'll make it a little harder. All right. Well, we've opened up the phone lines, and our first caller is Paul from New Jersey. Welcome, Paul. What's on your mind?
Hello, gentlemen. Can you hear me?
Yep, you sound great.
Yeah, okay, great. Listen, you had a guest on last week. He was some black dude, right, who was...
Yeah,
and he brought up about Tuskegee. And I want to straighten it out, the history on this. I had called Farron about a half a year ago on the topic, and I kind of researched it well. Because I happened upon some interesting facts about syphilis in the 1930s. Among the black population. And according to the book, from the American Medical Association, syphilis in the United States was primarily a Negro problem. Mm-hmm. In some states, as in Wisconsin, you'd have a rate of, example, 0.6% among whites of syphilis, but among blacks, you'd have 15.7%. Mm-hmm. So they typically would have about 10 times, 8 to 10 times the rate of syphilis. Now, back in those days, if blacks have a syphilis problem, who are you going to go to perform a study on syphilis? Because back in the 1930s, there was no cure for syphilis. So they started the Tuskegee experiment with the Institute of Tuskegee, and with help from the Department of Health, okay? And so they funded this study to see the transmission of blacks among about 400 participants. And they were provided rudimentary health care and were given periodic blood tests. They were never injected with syphilis. This is where Alex Jones is completely wrong about that. The photos, you see them with the needles, they are extracting blood to have a test injected.
Interesting.
With syphilis, because they readily spread it among themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then out of the good heartness of the white public health, they worked with the Negro Tuskegee Institute, because that was a black college headed by blacks. And when they started the experiment, there was even a black doctor involved. And there was a black nurse, Miss Rivers, and she basically worked for some odd 30 years following through this long-term experiment of studying syphilis among blacks, among these, like I said, 400 participants. So what happened is there were real no cures in the 30s for syphilis. Some people would take hot baths thinking the high temperatures would kill the bacteria. Others would... you know, take mercury or arsenic as an attempt to kill it also, get rid of it. And it was only until 1947, 15 years later, that Alexander Fleming discovered penicillin and the cure for syphilis. So the first 15 years of the Tuskegee experiment were good-hearted medical research of white institutions and leadership, not really started by the blacks, to find out what's the problem with the high black syphilis rates and to cure syphilis among blacks. Well, the problem is, the ethics-wise, is that after they had the cure in 47, they should have immediately shared the cure with blacks, cured everybody, and ended the experiment and celebrate, right? That's what moral people should have done. But some of the people were involved for whatever reasons, that people in partaking in the experiment did not inform the blacks at that time that they had syphilis. But they still provide the health care and follow them through with syphilis, but did not provide medication to cure them of syphilis. And so it's after 1947 where it becomes unethical, ultimately, the continuation of the Tuskegee experiment. But
wow.
What I'm getting at here is that...
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I just want to say, I think blacks are misinterpreting the whole history of this, the scale of it. Alex Jones has done a really disservice by the way he's going around saying they intentionally injected the syphilis and not reporting about the high syphilis rates that were pandemic in the black communities throughout all states of the country. And that, like as I said about the American Medical JAMA Journal saying, it was syphilis was mostly a Negro problem.
Wow. You know, I applaud your research. And Frederick, this is just a classic example of a lot of people don't do their due diligence when they come out with these inflammatory statements. And that's pretty much, you know, what's the right word? Common knowledge. That's mainstream media. Everything is about the immoral experiments. And I'd never heard that before. I had really never even thought to research it. I just assumed what the folk tale was true. So hey, thanks for bringing that up. I don't have to look into this. Frederick, your thoughts?
Oh, that stands to reason because, like the infamous, you know, Dr. Mengele of the Holohoax narrative that supposedly did all these horrible things, and the fact that there are no medical records to back up these tall tales by these chicken swingers is just proof that everybody was in on it, right? And I've always heard that Tuskegee, you know, they intentionally gave black people syphilis to study the effects of the disease, etc. But no one has ever provided me, okay, here is the actual documents, this is the study, this is where the money for the study came from. It's like, no, they never have anything more than the accusation, and that's how Marxists work. You know, they have a picture, and you know, like Trotsky, let's make up another headline for it. It's not, you know, doctors draw blood to test for syphilis. It's, you know, evil white people inject, you know, proud black people with horrible diseases, you know.
What a great call, Paul. Appreciate it. I'm going to research that.
Yeah, I'll definitely follow up that.
Yeah, one more point is that we did do some other experiments. Now, this, I think, was through military branches. And this was a gonorrhea study we set up, I think, in somewhere in Central America, like in Guatemala or Honduras kind of thing, at some prison, I think it was, where they did, like, inject some people. And it was really pretty bad. You know, like the unethics of it and near murder by a certain doctor down in, like I said, and they did do some studies, but notice those weren't Americans. That was offshore.
Interesting. You
know? Yeah. Kind of how we offshore.
Great research. Yeah.
Research and all that. Yeah. Great.
Gentlemen. I really look forward to looking into that. I appreciate the call, Paul, and please call back soon. Let's move on to Earl in Florida. Earl, welcome. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys. Are you there?
Hi, Earl. Yep, we're here.
speaking about that guy, Io, he seems to be pretty intelligent, writing that book and everything. But he also seems to be the kind of guy that once he uses us to help him get rid of the Jews, he'll come after us next. And that's the problem.
That's an interesting observation. Please continue.
Yeah, that's exactly the feeling I get from him. But that's not really the reason why I called. The reason why I called was that Blackbird, He's got, in my opinion, the show he was doing is he's one of the best educators out there.
Oh, I really completely agree.
Yeah, I really wished he would do that again, because I learned so much off of his show, and I think he was just the best educator. And that's what I
agree. Say. And it's taken months, and I'm still not used to. I used to look forward to Wednesdays because I get to listen to the Breakfast Club, and I always learn stuff. I'd always write down notes and all that. So, Frederick, I know what you did takes a week because you are a master researcher. But hey, the people, including this person, loved what you did. And if you ever decide to bring it back, you know there's going to be a lot of people wanting to tune in.
Oh, thanks for the great call. Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, it's a lot of work, but you know, it's one of those, you know, are people listening or not? You know, so it's good to know that people were listening, and who knows, maybe we'll bring back the Breakfast Club in some form at some point.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I don't know how many people are listening, but I can tell you, you had one of the best educational shows going. I mean, you taught me a lot, you know. And if people are, you know, really awake and are really paying attention, that would be the show they would want to listen to.
Appreciate that.
Okay, I'll let you go.
Thanks so much, Earl. That was a great call. Let's move on to Brian in Kansas. Brian, welcome. What's on your mind?
Well, it kind of ties in with what Paul was talking about. You know, the first caller is... it's my good old Henry Macau website. He had an article about a book, Under the Sign of the Scorpion, by Jerry Lena, and it involved Stalin, because I think Stalin is kind of like Hitler, and, you know, he was fighting the deep state, and everything attributed to him, it was his deep state that he had no control over. And what it talked about was a Jewish anti-fascist committee that was in place before World War II. They were tasked with getting Western financial assistance. And after the war, they started running around the Soviet Union trying to find places to put up Holocaust memorials and, you know, this kind of thing. Stalin had them investigated and discovered all the stuff they were doing as Jews that they would normally do. So he put them on trial and had them executed. Okay, so we need a guy like that here. But it got more interesting because he set up a department in the CPSU that dealt with woke crap, okay? It was run by Andrei Zyadonov, okay? And it was just fighting wokeism and, you know, bad art, everything. But he had heart trouble. So when he went to the doctors who happened to be Jewish, they weren't doing him any good. And one of the doctors who happened to be, you know, a good doctor named Lydia Timoshuk, she went to the authorities and they said, there's something wrong with these Jewish doctors. They're really not helping him out. Well, he died. So the Soviet authorities had an investigation of their doctors, and what they discovered, they said they were abusing their status as physicians, undermining health. They made incorrect diagnosis under high and noble titles of physicians, men of science. They trampled the sacred, you know, medical profession. So they were arrested. It was a doctor's plot. And you know what was going to happen to him? Well, one of the doctors, I think his name was Kaganovich, his daughter was married to Stalin. And this is in the book. So he went to his daughter and said, you've got to do something about Stalin or I'm going to be dead. So she poisoned her husband, okay, because she's Jewish. You know, that's, what do they call it, cinnamon, or there's some word where you,
cyanum,
you're like Jack
cyanum.
Ruby. Cyanum. She was a cyanum. So she's the one that poisoned Stalin, and then he died. And then that was what all of that was about, you know, because you hear about the doctor's plot. But, you know, I've said when you read those show trials from the 30s where the opening statements are, this is comrade so-and-so, he's responsible for the Holodome in Ukraine, and he's an agent of City of London. Every show trial opened with, this is an agent of City of London. Then this, you know, getting Trotsky with an ice pick in Mexico City by Stalin's people, everything makes sense, okay? We're getting BS when it comes to Stalin, just like we were with Hitler, and I know it just from people that I you know, associated with that survived that were older, and they said, thank God for Stalin. And if you look at film of his funeral, you know something's up. But he was getting the same treatment Hitler was getting, and they just conceal it.
Huh.
So that's what I have to say.
That's pretty eye-opening. Your thoughts, Frederick?
Yeah, one of the big eye-openers I had was realizing how many people were killed under the Bolshevik Red Terror, and it wasn't all on the battlefield, you know, and it wasn't all starved to death. The medical system became completely weaponized, much like what we have here now in Clown World. And, you know, basically the Cheka, you'd pop up on their list, they would send a letter saying you need to report for medical treatment, and you would show up, and that would be the last you would be seen from, and then the family would be told to come get the body, and then they would send you a bill for the medical procedures, right? You know, and that was the way they were operating. And I always go back to that letter from the Grand Sanhedrin of 1489 that was reprinted as a Zionist battle cry in 1889, where the Grand Sanhedrin says, as for what you say about their making attempts on your lives, make your sons doctors and apothecaries that they may take away Christian lives. And so it's right there in the good book that they are authorized to kill Gentiles with medicine if it's, you know, is good for the Jews, right? So
yes,
great
sir.
Call, yeah.
Well,
thank you so much,
Brian.
Go ahead. Any other thought?
Well, one thing you want to look at when you said 1489 and 1889, it's 100-year increments. Everything happens in 100-year increments. So that was, you know, 400 years. So just like now with this invasion that we get from the southern border, if you look at the original invasion of this country by us white people against the Indians, it probably started in 1820 was when it really got going, you know, and look where we are now. So, you know, like Giuseppe pointed out, the 1918 flu epidemic, and then, you know, in 2018, what do we have? 2020, the same thing.
Yes,
so everything works in 100-year increments. That's your real time, and they don't let you know that. Like Lincoln and Kennedy are the same soul, different lifetimes, and they were both assassinated about 100 years apart. So anyway.
Well, good stuff, Brian. Appreciate the call. We're going to move on to Chance in West Virginia. Welcome, Chance. What's on your mind, brother?
Buono sera, Giuseppe, and greetings and salutations to the non-Italian snackster. Before I get to my point, guys, I got to make a comment about two of those tapes you played, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, don't use a toilet. Don't pay homage to them honkies. Instead, just take a hellacious, smelly dump on your own kitchen floor. I mean, this is how insane these people are. And then that other tape you played, that fool moocher who bees wanting his reparations. Man, just tell him, go knock on Shlomo's damn door. Besides, his great-granddaddy only picked enough cotton from me to make two measly pairs of infant booties. All right, the reason why I called, have you guys heard about ammonium nitrate has disappeared from a train recently? I heard this.
Yeah,
I think it was out.
Hundreds of tons, right? A significant amount, yeah.
Yeah, do you smell a false flag coming up, and who do you think they're going to blame? Oh, Yeah, who do you think they're going to blame? It must be them damn honky patriots. That's
they're not
going to
blame Chewy, that's for sure.
Oh, of course not. Shlomo walks free. Everybody walks free. But them damn honkies. This is what I see coming up. It's going to be, oh, my God, those patriot extremists. This is what I see coming down the pike. Just to pull Biden's chestnuts out of the fire, you know? What do you think?
Frederick, your thoughts?
Oh, you know, when you're dealing with the synagogue of Satan, when they're losing, they'll knock over the table, yeah. Knock the game off the table, you know. So the idea of they're cornered, nothing more dangerous than a cornered beast, and, you know, they don't care blowing up their own if they have to, much less us. And I agree with you that, you know, they're really priming the pump for this. You know, white supremacism is a threat to our democracy. You know, Petus in chief was saying that at a historic black college this past week, right? That, you know, oh, the problem with America is these white supremacists. So there's going to be a false flag from these guys. You know, that's who it's going to get blamed on.
Oh, Chance, stand the line, and Frederick, I have that quote. I used it as part. I edited it out of an intro I did. I think it was Friday or Wednesday. I don't know. It all blurs together. But this is really good. Sam, if you could play clip number 14, and then we'll all comment afterwards.
So stand up against the poison. White supremacy, as I did my inaugural address, to single out as the most dangerous terrorist threat to our homeland is white supremacy. And I'm not saying this because I'm at a black HBCU.
Sure you are.
I say it wherever I go.
Violet!
Pennsylvania, Biden, his wife, his scummy son, they're all sitting there at an outdoor event, and all the kids are chanting, fuck Joe Biden. Awesome. All right, there you go. So that was the final thing, Chance and Frederick, is that right after, literally within 15 minutes after Biden was gave his speech, the Patriotic Front, that phony group, who knows who's doing it? Is it the FBI? Is it Mossad? Is it DHS, but they showed up and they marched within 15 minutes with the American. It's all white guys wearing their white masks and all that. It's such a farce. So what a joke, man. Biden is an embarrassment. Okay, we've reached the bottom of the hour. Stay tuned, and we'll continue with calls after these messages.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
You can think you're above me all you like. Think your squalid teachings make you erudite. Kike. Lock up the singer, cause she said that Hitler was right. Kike. Denying freedom of speech, cause you're all full of shite.
All right, welcome back to the final 30 minutes of the Sane Asylum Sunday Night Extravaganza with co-host Frederick C. Blackburn. That's a hot new tune from Shmuel and the Lipschitz, and definitely worth playing again and again. All right, well, we hit the bottom of the hour break right when I was playing the montage of Biden once again being a liar and blaming white supremacy blaming Whitey when he should be blaming Dewey, but of course he would never do that because they installed him as the president. So, Frederick, and then Chance, what did you think of Biden making that statement, and then 15 minutes later, the phony Patriot Front went on a march, and especially those kids, if maybe you've all seen the video, it's everywhere, where Biden and his wife, they're sitting there, and they just have to grin and bear it. They're more wincing than grinning when all hundreds of kids, University of Pennsylvania students, are chanting, "Fuck Joe Biden." This is a clown world we live in, is it not, Frederick?
Oh, I totally agree. And you know, you have to look at everything as, is this organic or is this synthetic?
Right.
You know, and even if it's organic, are they spinning it to their advantage one way or the other? You know, Mockingbird is never going to tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. You know, they always got to have their narrative. And you know, just the fact that, you know, people don't like Joe Biden, but yet he has to go out and do all these public appearances.
Right.
And it's interesting that, you know, the youth is getting more vocal with their dislike of Joe Biden. So they're obviously irrational, you know, haters and things like that, and bigots. So
of course.
There you go.
There you go. The scion of white supremacists. All right, well, Chance took off, so we'll move on to Miles from Maine. Miles, welcome. What's on your mind?
Giuseppe Pisano, que gots a fire.
Que gots a fire, Miles.
Hey, all great callers tonight. Excellent calls, yeah, man.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
Paul was right. And that Earl was an excellent call. Really good call.
Yeah, for real.
And I was listening that night. I was flying with the bird, and I'm going to tell you, that show either needs to be repeated or in segmented editions for more to follow that up or whatever. But, man, the bird was throwing it down, boy.
Now, who are we talking about? What show?
Blackbird Show. That Blackbird Show he had on I think it was The Breakfast Club.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. Those are phenomenal shows.
We either need a replay or a continued edition or something, because he was
bring it back.
Yeah. Anyway, you know, I wanted to talk to you a little bit, and you know, I agree with Earl what he said, and of course Paul too. He was correct, but I think you got to reel this Io Kamadi in, because I don't really trust the guy myself after hearing him. Every time I hear him, and like when I talked to him when he was there, he got the last comment in, and he's talking about, you know, I mentioned about ignorance, so he was like attempting to say I'm ignorant. Well, you know, this whole audience could probably teach him a lot of things, because many in this audience have been at this 30, 40, 50 years. I mean, he's a relative newcomer. Yeah, he's a rookie, really. He's the one that needs to be updated, not us. We know what's going on. But not only that, I mean, the guy, you know, okay, sure enough, he says the Jew's the problem, and that's okay if he wants to do that. But what he never says is how his people are the problem. And I pointed that out to him on different occasions, and he deflected that. See, he's got a communist background, if you don't know. You should really look into him, because you need to really reel him in. And so he deflects that, and you never hear him say, well, you know, my people have a behavior problem or anything like that. It's always the Jew, and he kind of reflects on how it's white people, too. Like, he doesn't do it in so many words, but that's that communist background training. But he'll say how they get abused by the police, but he'll never say more white people are abused by the police than blacks. So I think you need to pay close attention to him, look into his communist background training, and reel him in, or don't have him on. Or have someone, if you next time you have him on with Paul from California. And I'd like to see the quotes. I'd like to, yeah. And let him tell Paul how the Jew's the only problem, and his people don't have any behavioral issues unless it comes to the police. And that's acceptable now, I guess, to fight with the police and shoot at the police and do whatever to the police or the military or whoever. I guess now that's all, you know, that's just all okay. It never was before, but I would love to see him you know, put it together with Paul from California. And next time, if you have him on, why don't you do that? Why don't you say, we're going to have a little guest for you to talk with and see what he says? Because believe me, he can't handle Paul. He can't handle many people that are aware. Because what he says is, and you know, it's always the Jew. It's always the Jew. That's old news, okay? But what he never says is, my people have a behavioral problem, and that's why we're visiting these issues. And with that, Giuseppe, have a great show. You always do.
All right, Miles. Appreciate your input and feedback. And a lot of what you said certainly has merit. I think the idea of Io Kamathi pairing up, Dave Gahari's chosen to pair up with him, is because he is a black nationalist who used to blame Whitey and now he blames Jewy, of course. And to his credit, he's always looks to learn. And I completely agree. A lot of his perceptions are from being a black guy and feeling like you're oppressed and blah, blah, blah. He gets some things wrong, but he's willing to learn. But the vital thing is you've got a white nationalist and a black nationalist sitting down and addressing the core issue. Yeah, I mean, you know, Paul and all his buddies at the Daily Stormer and all that, they've been doing it forever, and that's their platform, right? So this is something new, trying to get a black and a white guy, nationalist together and try to wake up a few more normies, because if we don't wake up normies, you know, there's always going to be a Daily Stormer, there's always going to be a National Vanguard, but, you know, that's a very fringe element. And so Dave Gahari's strategy is to try and pull in some blacks and pull in anybody who can increase our numbers. So that's where he's... Frederick, any thoughts?
It's an interesting observation from the call. Good call, you know.
Right, absolutely. Miles, sharp guy. All right, let's move on to our next caller is Rick in Arizona. Rick, welcome. What's on your mind?
A couple of short issues. As far as, like, the guy was talking about Tuskegee and stuff, you know, they've been lying about all this crap for the last 500 years. You know, if you talk to your local native Indian, they will say that, you know, the Spanish gave them blankets with smallpox. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we didn't, there was no germ theory until the Civil War. That was 300 years before that. You know, when smallpox and stuff and that stuff went around, they had no idea what was causing it. You know, it was like...
That's a valid point, yeah.
You know, there was no germ theory until the Civil War. So let's say, you know, when did they first hit the coast? 1492? Well, mm-hmm. Then you got to go 1692, 17. I mean, so there was no germ theory. And, you know, it's purposely done to, you know, get these people to hate white people.
Of course. But, you know, right.
There's one thing I always thought about. If you want to wake up normies, do what John Menadio does, Handsome Truth. Don't worry about the Jews. Just go to your local city hall and get the salaries and the names of the people, how much they make, and put it on a flyer and throw it in their front yard. And you will see how fast these people will wake up. Nobody pays attention to it, but if you get a flyer in your front yard and you find out some nitwit's making $250,000 a year as a fireman, and you're paying property, that will throw a fire under people's butt. And they won't have no problem dealing with that. You know, that's what I suggest you do. Just get your local people how much money they're making and just hand out the flyers and see what kind of reaction you get, especially people that can pay property tax. Thanks for taking the call.
Well, appreciate your call, Rick. Any thoughts, Frederick?
Oh, yeah, great approach of these, you know, public officials and these NGO groups, how much money, you know, the inner circle of all these nonprofits, how much they're getting paid, you know, and that information is available. And one of my pet peeves up here in New Boone, North Kakalaki, is that this commie carpetbagger, you know, Jezebel Everett, that's the chancellor at Appalachian State University now, you know, she's making like $375,000 a year of taxpayer money to destroy our home under the guise of progressive politics, right? That, you know, she's bringing diversity here. You know, she's making this an inclusive area for everybody except for the people who built this area, right? And that, you know, she's been paid, and who knows what her portfolio is beyond, you know, what her just base salary is, right? And, you know, it's just infuriating how, you know, money, you know, they're doing all this with just dirty money. You know, so much of this warfare is fourth, fifth generation, where they just bring people in that are working, you know, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to destroy your way of life, and they're getting paid for it, right? But they, you know, all have these great, you know, NGO names that sound really good. And, you know, but you find out people like George Soros and their Schaefer Dykes are funding all of it. And, you know, it's war. They want you destroyed. So, yeah, great point about, you know, how much these people are making that are working against Heritage America.
That's a great, great point, Frederick. All right. Miles was requesting him, and he's here. Paul from California. Welcome, Paul. What's on your mind?
Well, I was actually already on hold, as you may know, so I did not call in to respond. But, Miles, yeah, thanks for giving me that shout-out there. Interestingly enough, two things regarding that. First of all, I don't have any association with the Daily Stormer. never had. And second of all, I mostly don't have any issues with Io Kamathi. I've heard him enough to know that he is essentially a separatist. And
right,
so
exactly.
We're good there because as a white man concerned with my own kind, I don't think that I don't want white people to be victims of black criminality. I don't want white children to be forced to go to school and endure the antics of hostile black students.
Agreed.
And so on and so on. Yeah, so, and of course, he is calling attention to the main issue, the main problem. So I'm all in favor of that, and I'm sure he would agree with some of the things that I would be in favor of, along with other race-conscious whites, such as whites, we don't want to police the black community, so we're in agreement. There shouldn't be any white cops in black neighborhoods, and no white man should be in front of a black judge or a black jury, and vice versa. So there's probably
Agreed.
Far more in common. And people would suspect, my main thing is I just have pointed out the, just like Jim Fetzer and many others, the unbelievable, overwhelming rates of criminality when it comes to the difference in races of perpetrators and victims. So anyway, having said that, I learned something tonight. Besides the great calls, I will tip my hat to Paul in New Jersey, good knowledge there. Brian in Missouri, also lots of good knowledge, although I'll take issue with the idea of Kennedy and Lincoln being same soul, different time in history. I'm not sure I can go for that. But the one thing I learned is that the Chinese seem to have a problem with the wuh sound, like what, why, when, where,
yeah.
With it. That's
right.
that's a dog. Warehouse. I just thought it was the L, right? But now we know it's the WH sound, such as white. So I'm thinking maybe she could have a little bit of maybe dog tissue clogging up her larynx, or perhaps a little soy sauce on her vocal cords or something. Other than that, I don't have any problem with what she said. It didn't trigger me at all. And regarding the clip that you played of the clearly gelato. This is on my podcast with David Lerman. He brought up the gelato, which of course is the unholy alliance of a Jew breeding with a black, producing some mulatto-colored frizzy hair Jewess with all the mental illnesses of the Jewish people. You know, the narcissism and the neurosis and et cetera, and just they are absolutely the most dangerous, wackos you can imagine. And many of these people that you see, such as her, the listeners, if they haven't seen the clip, go watch that clip. You've got to look at this person. And to me, she is clearly a gelato. And I have a solution to this white supremacist toilet issue. I wouldn't object at all. You know, the migrants coming across the border need to be fed, and we should build troughs, like hog troughs. And we could directly plumb the toilets right down to the feeding trough for these migrants, and they could be nourished on the white supremacy that we have to offer here. So I thought you would that somebody would enjoy that. Thank you for the laugh, the chuckle. That's what I go for.
I hadn't heard the word gelato before. That's excellent. If your buddy made that up, that's very clever, really good. And the plumbing, holy cow, that's something for sure. Frederick, your thoughts?
a great call. I just trying to get my head around the image of the troughs and the toilets.
Oh my God.
Listen, we gotta do something, right? They're coming here because, you know, they need services, right? The purpose of government, according to our government, is to provide them services, right? And we could provide them plumbing services, and at the same time, you know, we'll kill a couple of birds with one stone. You know, I don't know. Just a thought I had, because these people are clearly a lot of them just absolutely insane. You probably watch some of the same videos that I watch.
Yep.
You see these lesbian, bi, gay, transgender, you know, in many cases, like I said, they are Julottos, and they're just absolutely out of their gourd.
Yeah, like Martin Luther, cannot be redeemed, irredeemable, absolutely.
I'll send you a link to my podcast, Giuseppe. I think you'll enjoy it. And yes, no.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I'll listen to it for sure.
Yeah, Davis Lerman came up with the term Julotta when we were talking about this topic, and it's when you mix that into the picture, you can clearly see what's going on.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah, yeah. So
pass
anyway,
along that. I salute him, man. I love when someone comes up with something truly clever, and that is a great line, man. Hats off to Davis. That's well played.
Well, thanks for taking my call. You guys had a good show tonight, and like I said, a lot of good callers that I enjoyed. And Miles, thanks for mentioning my name once again. Appreciate it.
All right, Paul, you have a great week. Let's move on to Joe in Florida. Joe, welcome. What's on your mind?
Hey, Giuseppe Blackburn, good to hear you guys. Yeah, great show tonight. I hate to be the skunk at the garden party, as the British say, but I'm going to give you a two thumbs up for having Io on last week. And the reason why, and I guess I obviously am disagreeing with some of the people calling in tonight, the reason why I think it's important is that conversation, right, between you and even Dave and Io is the one conversation that the Jews are desperately frantic to make sure never happens. Okay.
Right.
They know that when you team up people who probably may disagree on many other things, right? And they agree that you know who is the enemy, right, then the jig is up, right? Okay, so you have this whole dynamic where we're supposed to hate black people and black people are supposed to hate white people, right? And at the same time, we're missing the whole picture, right? Okay, Dave Chappelle has been onto it, even Kanye West, you know, an imperfect messenger to say the least. But the point is, there is a little period of growth in the black community, I think, of getting the picture, right? They are the victims. Now, are they innocent? No. But the point is, some of the people who are most abused by the Jews are these black people who are in pretty sad shape anyway, and then they're ignited. And then, you know, Blackburn, you always talk about, you know, let's both you and them fight. Or how does that saying go?
Let's you and them fight. You got it.
Yeah, yeah. So to me, that's, I have to say, thank you for having Io on, and I think that's a good track. The only other thing I'll real say quickly, I wanted to give an update, because there's a danger now at this point about the Russia-Ukraine war. So it looks like Bakhmut or Artemyovsk, I think is the Russian way of saying it, is definitively in the hands of the Russians tonight, okay? So this is the game changer. Oh, how convenient that the media has stopped talking about Ukraine war, right? Now that it's proven that Putin is basically defeating them totally. And I find it very convenient that Mr. Zelensky, the Jewish war criminal, is somehow never in his own country anymore. Have you noticed this? He's everywhere.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And he has That's the nerve. He has the nerve the other day to go in front of the Arabs. And I saw a translation where he's telling them literally, "Oh, we don't have any weapons, and we have no ammunition. We have no weapons." Oh, wait a minute! Hello, talk about the ultimate criminal grifter. This guy, I think, is on the run, which is the other good thing. The reason I'm in a good mood tonight, because when the Jewish war criminal mass murderer Zelensky is on the run, I think that's a good sign.
Absolutely, Joe. Great call. And yeah, I mean, the cool thing about everyone calling in and sharing their opinion is we're all being adults, right? Nobody needs to scream like the left loonies and the commies and the Bolshevik 2.0s and the psychopathic trannies. We're adults and everybody's entitled to their own opinion. And so it's great. That's you know, I salute to every caller. Frederick, your thoughts?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Great calls. Really... liked what Joe was saying there. The main dialogue. You know, that was one of the things about the National Socialists. They hate to point out that the National Socialists worked with dark people all over the planet against the Globo Homo. So there was those alliances. So, yeah.
Any last thing, Joe?
Yeah, no. I just say that is the one conversation that the Jew is most afraid of, because he knows, right? The enemy knows, right, that when people who stop fighting with each other and say, well, wait a minute, who's the real enemy here? That means it's the end of their power. So great show tonight, and thanks, guys. It's good to hear you both. And I love the 2 hours. This is definitely good.
Appreciate it, Joe. Let's quickly go to Nancy from California. Nancy, welcome. What's on your mind?
Hey, real fast, two things. Number one, I knew a translator who went to Africa a lot. The people over there referred to those who were captured, well, actually sold by the tribal chieftains to the Jewish slave traders as the blessed ones.
Really? So, that's interesting.
Yes. They refer to them as the blessed ones. I would rather live here than there. But, and then also I was going to say kudos to Joe. I agree 100%. I believe Io Kamati, is it Kamati?
Kamati.
I've listened to him, yes. I've listened to him with Dave Gahari. He knows who's behind communism. This guy who claims that he's a communist, no, the Jews invented communism, and he's 100% against them and their inventions. I'm certain that he is not a communist. So it's like Joe said, they would just love to divide us and keep us apart and not have this alliance.
That's a great observation, Nancy. I mean, again, we honor every caller. Everybody's got their own interpretation. They're putting the pieces of the puzzle together. And the thing is we're all adults and we can discuss it. So that's really great. Anything else, Nancy?
No, thank you.
Thank you so much. Frederick, a great show, man. Great to have you back. Any final thoughts?
Oh, great show tonight and great call, Miss Nancy. That was really good. Just really good to be back and, not coughing and sneezing.
That's right. All right, thank you, everybody. 2 hours goes fast with the great Blackbird 9. And here he comes, the king of Sunday night, the one and only Robert Ravolt in Incendiary Radio. And next Sunday, we'll be back with 2 hours in this expanded format. So have a great week, everybody. Good night.
Robert.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.